Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Today, a Valentine's Day special, celebrating love and marriage, real and imagine. If dog sledder Susan married actor Ashton, She'd be
foolish.
That's true.
I mean, he's not going to go up there and mush with her.
No, I don't think so either. From some years back, this was the day we sat Francine Akbar twixt new husband Stuart Mushland and our own Murray Horwitz. You are rather hirsutely bracketed there, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
It's like a pioneer version of the Smith Brothers. Before the cough drops took off, you know. It's right.
So
yeah.
Come join the fun, experience the vibe, feel the excitement of a voracious audience ready for wordplay.
Apparently love is not all around us, by the way.
Yes.
I just wanted to point that
right
out.
Says You celebrates Valentine's Day right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In the Northeast, the effort continues to dig out of a blizzard that left as much as 3 feet of snow in some locations. About 400,000 homes and businesses are waiting for their power to be restored. Many roads remain impassable, and damages threaten to mount. In Boston, an 11-year-old boy died while sitting in a running car to keep warm. The child's father was shoveling snow to get the car out of a bank. A fire department spokesman says the snow-covered car exhaust caused deadly carbon monoxide fumes to collect in that vehicle. A neighbor of the family, Octavius Rowe, described the tragedy.
Snow plow had come up the street, had pushed the snow back onto the banks, which had re-impacted the exhaust pipe. And then, of course, the fumes, the carbon monoxide included, had filled the car, got gone back into the car while the car was running.
From member station WBUR, Fred Tice reports that this storm has been especially rough on Cape Cod.
Chatham is on the elbow of Cape Cod, and firefighters and EMTs have had to contend with blowing snow and frequent bursts of high winds. The nearest hospital is in Hyannis. Captain Nelson Worth of Chatham Fire and Rescue describes what ambulances have had to face.
It was dangerous. Visibility very low, particularly when the wind is blowing. You have to go very slowly. A normal 20 to 23-minute ride was taking over an hour to get to the hospital.
Firefighters have had to contend with utility pole fires and wire fires. They've also had to deal with drivers getting out on the roads and getting in the way. For NPR News, I'm Fred Tice in Chatham, Massachusetts.
Actor Steven Seagal was in Arizona yesterday. Mark Moran of member station KJZZ in Phoenix reports that he was there to help the Maricopa County Sheriff.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who calls himself America's toughest sheriff, asked Seagal to train volunteers how to respond to armed threats in schools, including how to search classrooms for students who may be hiding and how to take on the person with a weapon. Children were used as stand-ins during the training, and the trainees shot paintball guns to simulate a real emergency. Seagal said he was here to teach the posse members firearms and martial arts techniques that they may use during a school shooting and critique their work after the event. Following the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, Arpaio stationed armed volunteers at schools around the Phoenix area in an attempt to head off a similar incident. For NPR News, I'm Mark Moran in Phoenix.
The family of late Penn State coach Joe Paterno has released a privately commissioned review attacking conclusions that Paterno conspired to conceal child sex abuse allegations against assistant coach Jerry Sandusky. Former U.S. Attorney General Dick Thornburgh led that review. This is NPR. Hundreds of mourners packed into a Chicago church yesterday for the funeral of a teenage girl slain in gang-related violence.
Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow.
15-year-old Hadia Pendleton was shot to death in Chicago January 29th. She was an honor student, band majorette, performed in group events surrounding President Obama's inauguration. Her death highlighted Chicago's growing homicide count and the problem of gun violence. First Lady Michelle Obama attended that funeral and met with the girl's family. The new head of the Syrian Orthodox Church, Patriarch John X, has been installed amid tight security. Snipers were deployed around the church in the capital of Damascus. The BBC's Jim Muir reports the ceremony was attended by the head of the Lebanese Maronite Church.
Much of the interest was focused on the presence of the Lebanese Maronite Patriarch Bishar el-Rai, the first such visit to Damascus since Lebanon became independent in 1943. He made an impassioned appeal for peace, saying that all the talk of democracy, reforms, and human rights was not worth a single drop of innocent blood. He said reforms were needed, but they should not be imposed from outside. They should be agreed through dialogue. Lebanon's own Christian community, like the rest of the country, is sharply divided over the crisis in Syria.
The BBC's Jim Muir. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Cy Sims Foundation, supporter of the Cy Sims School of Business at Yeshiva University at cysimsfoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You's Valentine's Day special at Elm Bank comes from the Massachusetts Horticultural Society. Year-round events, workshops, and classes designed to enrich the understanding of plants and the environment. On the web at masshort.org.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From Honeywell Hall at Elm Bank in Wellesley, Massachusetts, welcome to the first day of cold and flu season in New England. I'm your first victim, Richard Schur, and this is Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's a walking encyclopedia, missing a few volumes, Murray Horowitz. Please hold your applause. She's a shining testimonial for a Canadian education, Francine Akbar. And he's a former undefeated Jeopardy champion. Finally in the big time, Dr. Stuart Marshlin. Captained on this occasion by?
The Canadian.
Oh. Miss Akbar, will captain. To my left, team two. She's a veritable font of knowledge about to overflow. Paula Lyons. Oh, your family came. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. He's the answer to a mother's prayer. Unfortunately, the wrong answer. Arnie Reisman. And she's a beacon of light, a ray of hope, a flash in the flesh. Miss Carolyn Fay Fox. Who serves as leader?
I will.
Mr. Reisman is the captain.
Yeah.
Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. To begin, with two married couples, one very newly married on today's panel, we could not resist the temptation to start with a round titled Love is All Around. For 10 points, please tell me, Carolyn.
Yes.
What makes a loving cup loving?
Gin and tonic. Two handles.
To it.
That is exactly right. Do you care to elaborate?
Love handles.
Love handles, yes, that's exactly right. Anyone want to flesh that out a little, or...
What more? How can flesh you flesh out two handles? If you got two handles, you got a cup.
It is. That is what makes a loving cup a loving cup. It's
both.
Exactly
there's no
right.
Ice. There's no ice because it's not on the rocks.
It is, in fact, the two handles. It's a large ornamental vessel with two or more handles for ceremonial drinking by assembled companions. It's meant to be hoisted by more than one.
But how can
it's
two people drink
it? It's meant to be hoisted by more than one. I just like that.
Really? That's a loving
This program
guitar.
Is meant to be hoisted by more than one, but they
yes, that's true.
They've only got one hoist.
Stuart, where might one find a love apple?
A love apple? In an orchard?
Not likely, no.
Okay. Murray.
Are we, am I allowed to?
Jump right in.
In a field of tomatoes.
And because?
Because a love apple's a tomato.
That's exactly right. 10 points. Very good. A love apple is, in fact, a tomato. And I don't know why it is, really. It's from the French, which I thought, oh, we have some help from the audience?
Well, when it was first introduced to Europeans, they found the effect very invigorating.
The Europeans found it invigorating? Well, I guess it was hard to have a good time in those days, but...
I thought it was PR, because initially people thought a tomato was poisonous.
Right.
And so it was
right.
renamed a love apple.
Right. Oh, is that right? Just to...
They wouldn't eat them. In fact, supposedly there was some character who took a bushel of tomatoes up to the courthouse steps, and everybody took bets of whether or not he was going to die. This was like 300 years ago or something.
Isn't there the but theory that was actually the apple that Eve bit into was a tomato?
Is I'm that serious? Right?
Yeah, no, I think I'm remembering that.
Is this the farmer's Bible you're reading?
Yeah, that's right. More information about tomatoes than I think we really need.
We need. Mm.
Let's go on. Arnie, what's a love set?
A love set?
Yes.
Tennis.
It is, in fact. Do you care to be specific?
You're actually finished the game. Let's see. The set, what is it, 6-0?
That's exactly right.
One opponent wins all the games.
That's exactly right. In tennis, it's a set in which an opponent does not win a game. That is a love set. Very good. Miss Akbar, what's a love test?
A love test?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that the test you have to do for the health department before you go?
No, it's not.
The answer to that.
A love test?
Yes.
And every night when I come home from work, believe me.
With the flowers.
What did you bring?
I don't know. Do I have help from my
mustachioed
teammates? Don't they look like...
You are rather hirsutely bracketed there, aren't you?
I am. Yeah.
I'm sure that's not a word.
Test.
I don't...
It's like a pioneer version of the Smith Brothers.
It's actually,
where the cough drops took off.
This is the Donner Party is what this is.
So, fellows, any help?
Love test.
Anyone heard of this? Oh, the other side may know. Any help from that side?
I have no idea.
Okay, so it isn't medical and it isn't musical.
It is not?
No, it's not musical. I know.
Any help from the other side?
I think it's one of those pieces of equipment at a carnival.
Ah.
Which you can test with a handshake
right.
what kind of kisser you are.
Well, possibly, but actually this is a lot more natural in its origins.
Hmm.
Any help
more
from the audience?
More natural than dropping a dime into a machine and gripping it?
Any help from the audience? No one in the Northeast here has heard of a love test.
So it's regional,
it's a common everlasting flower of eastern North America, and it's called a love test because it passes the love test. Its flowers do not change color when they are dried.
You know, Richard, I've got to say, my cousin Ethan is here, and he had another definition for love test.
Ethan, what is it?
Yes.
You would.
It is the phrase. It is the phrase. If you loved me, you know.
We just slipped into AM radio.
Yes, I know. But that's a love test. No one has heard of a love test in New England.
What part of the country would they have heard of this in?
Right.
Well, it's a northeast. It's in northeastern North America. So.
Are you going to continue with this horticultural theme since we're here?
This is the
no.
I'm getting anxious.
I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue with the love theme, however. Paula, what color is lovebird?
Lovebird.
Lovebird,
B-I-R-D? Yes. What color is that?
That'd be blue.
A lovebird. I think it's blue, but don't you think?
I'm wearing blue.
She said, touching her periwinkle.
Touching her what?
I don't. That's my guess.
It is an incorrect guess.
Okay, then let's move on.
Any help from the other? Any help from that side?
Then it's
a rosy, mauvey pink.
Rosie Mauvey Pink.
A Rosie Mauvey. I used to know a girl named Rosie Mauvey. I remember her. She was a short girl, but
before she became a law firm, right?
Right.
Is it not red?
It is not. So this side, I think, is drawing a blank. Does the other side
yellow.
Have any idea? Well, you know, we can go through. You know, having gone through the spectrum, you accidentally stumbled on it there.
Green.
The two
green.
Of you.
Yellow.
Right.
Yellowish green.
It's a yellowish green, yes.
It's a yellowish
it is, in fact,
green.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Lovebird.
It is a strong yellow green, slightly greener than parrot green, whatever parrot green might be.
How do we get 2 points for that?
Audience, since they went through the whole spectrum, how many points should we give them? Well, we got everywhere from 1 to 4 to 8 there, so we'll give you, I don't know, 4 points. And finally, Murray, I saved this one for you, and I'll give
thanks,
you a lot
Richard,
of hints for this.
Because you love me.
Yes.
I do. Lovestonites.
What?
Lovestonites.
Spell that.
Lovestonites. Lovestonites.
Is it shiny black stones?
No, I haven't even asked the question yet.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go ahead. Ask the question.
Lovestonites. Named for J. Lovestone, a leader of the American Communist Party in the 20s, love something that they shouldn't. What?
Lovestonites.
Ooh, what a good guess from the audience.
What kind of party in the 20s?
A leader of the Communist Party.
The leader of the American Communist Party in the 20s was J. Lovestone.
Violence.
Oh, no, that's a great guess, but Lovestonites love something that they shouldn't. What?
Foie gras.
I just did this because I stumbled across this and I thought it was just an interesting bit of information.
They really loved individual capitalists.
Well, in a sense. Any help? Has anyone ever heard of Jay Lovestone, by the way? Well, Mr. Lovestone, sorry about that.
Right. Yes.
Any thoughts?
Apparently love is not all around us, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Point that out.
Any help from the audience? No, actually, it is labor unions. They are strays
why
from the.
Why shouldn't they love labor
why
unions?
Why shouldn't
I
they?
Could not figure
communist
this out.
And labor what? Unions.
Yeah, they are strays from the party who wanted to accept and work with established unions.
Oh, no, that's true. There was a big fight in international communism. They wanted to embrace people like the American Federation of Labor and these big established unions, which communists in like Russia thought were part of the. American capitalists.
And for that incredible amount of information given after the fact, 4 points
okay,
for that side. And we will move gingerly, onto round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Dactyls. It's the first of the Says You bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. Those poor souls will have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Francine's team. 10 points up for grabs to Francine if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word kerboom. K-E-U-R-B-O-O-M. Kerboom. Gentlemen. Its sesquiannual return to Seattle, Washington, as part of this spring schedule of live performances. On June 22nd and 23rd, we'll become Soulcesters as we once again invade Town Hall with special guests and musical surprises. Tickets, information, and details for these matinees are available, of course, at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, will show you how to join the fun. Other dates for this spring will be posted in the next few days on the site, and we hope you'll keep your eyes peeled to see if this is the year you'll be able to catch a live performance of the show. And who knows? Maybe we'll find out who first peeled one's eyes. Says You returns after this from home. So many ways to enjoy Says You. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net. SaysYou. The Dactyl. Mr. Frank Farrell, Mr. Dana King, thank you very much, gentlemen, for giving us a little time with the word kerboom. We will go first to Miss Carolyn Fay Fox.
Kerboom. Or kerboom. It is a South African antelope that, when startled, characteristically bursts out of dense undergrowth with a noise that temporarily interrupts a lion's concentration. Gives it a little head start.
Kerboom. Out he goes. The antelope. The lion is startled. One saved antelope.
We hope.
Okay. Arnie, kerboom.
Well, I think we're in the same area. I think the geography is probably right. It's somewhere from around the Johannesburg region, the area around there. It's actually a corruption of liquor bloom, which is the kind of flower you see after several drinks. But actually, today it's been shortened down, and it actually just refers to a purple-flowered shrub in South Africa.
A South African shrub. Any ornamental? Do we plant these? Do we?
You can wear them on your lapel.
Oh, you can wear them on
forward.
An entire shrubbery.
Weighs a lot.
Okay. A purple-flowered shrub.
Hefty shrub outside the pub.
Paula, kerboom.
Well, actually, a kerboom is a fast-growing alpine weedy plant that has leaves that are mottled yellow, and it is known for the way it camouflages extremely sharp, stiff thorns. It's a big surprise when you encounter it.
A thorny little devil. We really went to nature on this one. We have a choice of a thorny alpine plant, a South African shrub, or the antelope that darts out.
There's actually a public radio station in on the eastern shore of Maryland, KEUR, that was bombed last year.
Kerboom.
Yeah. By some disgruntled members, and that was a KEUR boom.
Yeah, and I think in this climate, I'm going to use that.
But on the other hand, getting into the South African geography, and one might look at that word and say it could be Dutch, couldn't
couldn't you?
One could.
Boring, Francine.
You're so smart. What's your idea, buddy?
Yes, there's a marriage that'll...
all boor misdirection. I think that they got the same vibe that you did, that this is somehow, you know, kind of...
decoys.
Decoy Dutch.
Decoy Dutch. Decoy Dutch. Okay.
And so...
so you think?
I think we're in a horticultural setting.
Decoy
Dutch. I think it's an alpine plant.
I go with the horticultural thing, but it... both Carolyn and Paula mentioned surprise, like a boom, like a, which... is jive, I think, by me. I'd go with the South African shrub. So it's
the
up
purple,
to you to decide.
The Arnie purple thing?
Yes, I think it's
isn't
the Arnie
the
purple
logic
thing.
Of this I, wonderful?
Yes.
I think it's Arnie's purple thing.
Okay. I beg you.
Arnie's purple. Let's go with Arnie.
You can actually say that.
Arnie, are you a Martian?
Right.
Let's go with Arnie's purple thing.
You're going to listen to Mr. Horowitz.
over your husband. Oh, God.
Over
but
your
my
husband.
My husband was not protesting.
Oh, ah. No. I have no idea.
He was quite amenable.
He passed the love test.
That's right. Darling, whatever you say.
Yes, you say that well.
And you're going to go with Mr. Reisman's definition, a South African purple-flowered shrub. Arnie, is that in fact what a kerboom
is? It's amazing the logic, right? I mean, if I don't know how many, there are several people here who have been coming for the last 8 years of these sessions, and I'm always amazed that, you know, how they boil it down to actually a purple-flowered shrub of southern Africa.
There you
10
go.
10 points, very good. Sniffed it out. Murray, you were actually right. Congratulations. 10 points, Francine, probably for your side.
Right.
Let's go on to round three. Alan Cowett of Cranston, Rhode Island, has long been a fan of our show, and today he's come up with a question. Since he's here today, we thought we'd let him pose it himself. So, Alan, can you come on up here and pose the question?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Richard, and thanks for that first category. That is a nice segue. I'm here today with my partner, Angela, and her father, and NPR, and Says You are a big part of our lives, and we plan every Saturday night around being around the radio to listen to Says You, and Angela, I want to spend every Saturday with you from now on, so I hope I pass the love test. Will you marry me?
So I take it the answer is yes, then.
Fantastic.
Ooh, no bluffing.
Congratulations.
What's the category?
That was kind of a sneaky bit of business, but we thought, good. What better show to do that? Congratulations, good. You two.
Oh.
not the first time.
Now let's go on to round three.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Here's a round for today titled In Name Only. Assuming the following couples met, fell in love, and married, what new name might the new missus assume? For example, if singer Vicky married actor Chevy, she'd be Vicky Carr Chase.
Yes.
Vicky Carr Chase.
Okay.
So you get where we're going here.
Unfortunately, yeah.
I don't want to go.
Okay, let's try this one, Carolyn. If Cheers Rebecca married cable TV's professional therapist. She might be.
Well, the professional
married
therapist
who?
Is Dr. Katz. Yeah.
Cable TV's professional
Dr.
therapist,
Katz,
yes.
But Cheers, what? Who?
It's Allie Katz.
Oh, Allie Katz, okay.
The full name?
Allie Katz. What do you want?
Her first name?
Rebecca Allie Katz?
Allie.
What, Kirstie Allie Katz?
Kirstie Allie Katz, yes.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Kirstie Alley Katz is correct. Jonathan Katz, of course, and Kirstie Alley. Try this one, Stuart. If dog sledder Susan married actor Ashton, she'd be...
Oh, yeah.
She'd be foolish.
That's true.
I mean, he's not going to go up there and mush with her.
No, I don't think so either. But if it happened.
Susan Butcher.
The Iditarod. Butcher Block.
I'm hearing it in the audience.
What's the other part?
Married actor Ashton.
Ashton. Ashton.
Oh, I don't think they're going to. They're halfway there. They're going to get 5 points, of course, for Susan Butcher, but they don't have the back half of it.
Susan Butcher Kutcher.
Susan Butcher Kutcher, yes.
Ashton Kutcher.
I'm very surprised you didn't know that. Susan Butcher Kutcher. Try this one, Arnie. Given to you for a reason.
Yeah, right. To throw me. Go ahead.
See if you can follow this one. If the Temptations lead singer's sister married singer Helen's brother, she'd be Mrs.
Yeah.
The Temptations.
Rough and Ready. Jimmy Rough and Ready.
Oh, good.
She'd be Mrs. Rough and Ready. That's exactly right. David Ruffin and Helen, singer Helen is, of course, Helen Reddy. She'd be Mrs. Rough and Ready. Very good, Arnie. Try this one, Francine. If the Sopranos shrink married the Right Thing director, she'd be...
The Right Thing?
Is it Do the Right Thing? Do you mean Do the Right Thing?
What was the first part?
She would be Lorraine Broccoli.
Lorraine Broccoli, yes, that's exactly right. Lorraine Broccoli. Well, it's her choice. I mean, you know...
Hey, we're still in the horticultural mode.
As a person who did not choose to be called Francine Akbar Mushlin, I think this is a very retro category.
Yes. And we thought about that and rejected it completely. But try this one, Paula. If the Tennessee Waltzer married the Billboard Scion, she'd be...
Billboard Scion.
Oh.
I know, I got that part too.
I got that too. So it's Patty Page.
Ackerley?
Ackerley?
No, not Ackerley.
Oh, who else does outdoor signs? Billboards.
We don't want to make you anxious, but we have it over here.
I'm sure
I may give them a hint.
Turner?
I'm sorry?
Patty Page Turner?
Patty Page Turner, yes, exactly right. Patty Page and Ted Turner, of course. Did I mention before that it was Lorraine Bracca and Spike Lee? Was the one before.
Right.
Let me do that. The Sopranos shrink, of course, is Lorraine Bracca, and the Right Thing director is Spike Lee. Lorraine Bracca Lee. Patty Page, the singer who made the Tennessee Waltz famous, and Ted Turner, the Billboard sign, Patty Page Turner. And finally, Murray, and see if you can follow this one. If paleontologist Mary married actress Farrah's brother, she'd be...
Leaky Fawcett.
Oh, yeah. She'd be Mrs. Leaky Fawcett. That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
She would be Mary Leaky Fawcett. Yes, very good.
Thank you, Stuart. Stuart got it.
So you can pretty much bet that thing's not going to happen. But that's exactly right. Mary Leaky and, of course, Farrah Fawcett's brother would be Mary Leaky Fawcett. Now, a little something extra for Valentine's Day. Way back in Season 5, February 14th, in fact, we all huddled together with an intrepid audience at the Carriage House on the Codman Estate in Lincoln, Massachusetts. It was my idea to have a special celebration on an idyllic and historic farm. I had neglected, however, to find out whether or not the Carriage House was heated. It made for an interesting February afternoon, and if you listen closely, you may even hear a vocal tremble or two as we join Barry Nolan and Tony Khan for a round of Sweets for the Sweet.
Let's begin our Valentine's special with a visit from old friend Ron Blau, who graces us with a contribution titled Sweets for the Sweet. Please tell me what type of candy is suggested by the following convoluted clues.
Ooh.
An example, War God's watering hole.
Mars bars?
Would be Mars bar, yes.
Great. This is going to be my category.
I can hear the snickering already.
Carolyn, try this one. Dramatic part for a foot.
dramatic heart for a foot. A Tootsie Roll.
A Tootsie Roll is exactly right. 10 points, very good. A Tootsie Roll, yes. Tony, try this one. Parts of a monkey, specifically a macaca mulata.
Macaca mulata.
Parts of a monkey.
Yeah.
Ooh, from the audience.
Ape.
Oh, macaca mulata.
Okay. Macaque.
Yeah. I think the other side just got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boy, it looks like a blank slate over there.
Not here.
No.
Must I go to the other side for
Reese's Pieces?
Reese's Pieces, yes.
Oh.
I point out once again, this is the contribution of Ron Blau.
Yeah. All right.
Arnie, I give this one to you and only you. Doc, in quotes.
Doc.
Doc, so oolong. S-O-W. O-O-L-O-N-G. Doc?
T.
So oolong.
T. Doc.
Doc as
what
in
is
D-O-C or D-O-C-K?
D-O-C.
D-O-C.
Oh, in quotes.
So like Bugs Bunny.
No.
No,
no.
Like Doc Holliday? Holliday?
Well, you're right to think
Holiday.
Of a name, but...
Holiday. Okay, it's not... All right, something ending in T.
Doc Holliday.
It's a baseball player, actually.
Oh, it's baseball.
Doc.
Who's in... I don't know about you.
I'm
lost.
Oh, I'm
so close.
The scorekeeper, Charlie Murphy, has it in case you need some help over there.
This isn't fair. The scorekeeper has it.
Not doing it for me.
Does anybody, any help from that side?
Anything to do with Verity?
No, but the T is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A famous baseball player named Doc. He didn't get it.
Good and Plenty.
Good and Plenty is exactly right, yes. Doc Gooden, the famous pitcher.
Good and Plenty.
So oolong. Gooden Plant T.
Plant.
Oh, yes. That was
Gooden
so.
Plant
yeah.
T.
I was thinking Choo Choo Charlie would be there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But no.
No.
But
and if
no.
you think that was bad,
yeah.
try this one, Francine. Destroy 14-line poems.
Yes.
Sonnet.
Yeah, sonnets, right.
Oh.
Rex Sonnet.
We got it.
Oh, the other side
sonnet.
Got it.
Sonnet.
Raisinets.
10 points, very good.
Right.
Raise sonnets, yes. Destroy 14-line poems is to raise sonnets. Anybody in the audience getting
sonnets.
These? Oh, most of the audience is getting these. All right, Ms. Lyons, try this one. Short line stingers.
Short line stingers. Buzz.
Stingers.
Bit of honey.
No, who bit of honey? I never even thought of that one.
Short line.
Stingers.
Short line as in railroad? As in train. As in
Choo Choo Charlie.
Charleston Choo.
Charleston Choo.
Oh, no, but you're on the right road. Stingers.
What's the name of the
game? Oh,
Jujubes is exactly right.
Choo
Choo Bees.
I have no
choo-choo.
Idea.
Choo Choo Bees.
Stingers are bees.
But short line?
The short line railroad choo-choo. Is a choo-choo.
Oh.
Choo-choo and stingers are bees.
Right.
Choo-choo bees. Very good. And finally, Barry, printing spaces at the end of prayers, perhaps.
Something about amen?
Did you say
printing spaces at the end of prayers, perhaps? Printing spaces.
Something. Jordan, amen. Amen.
Joy.
No.
Amen, joy. Amen.
Amen is right.
Amen.
Printing spaces
amen.
At the end of
no.
prayers.
Amen pez. Amen.
Roca.
Amen roca. Amen.
They'll get some points.
Amen joy. Amen.
Jordan, amen.
I'd go with the printing spaces and see if you could do anything with that.
Printing
is
spaces.
Is that an L?
Amen.
We're suffering here.
No, the other side amen. Does know.
And it's not almond joy.
No.
No.
I'm going to give you 6 points because they got the amen. And go to the other side.
M&M's.
Amen M's. Yes. M's are printing spaces. Amen M's. M&M's. No. Feel free to boo if that's how you feel.
I've totally lost my taste for candy, and I'm never going to call Ron Blau again.
Almond Joy was a great one, though. I have to give you credit. 6 points for that.
Okay.
That's our Valentine's Day Extra Round for this week. Remember, if you'd like to hear a spotlight round, a memorable moment from times past you haven't heard in a long, long time, just let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archive and do our best to find your favorite. You can let us know your choice by going to our website at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. That's our Valentine's Extra for this week. Now, back to the show.
Arnie, your team is carrying a 10-point lead into round four. So let's go there, which is Francine's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, if you can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word...
Hold it up.
Agowilt. A-G-O-W-I-L-T. Agowilt. Gentlemen.
One, two, three.
Here's a quick reminder. Sayu's spring schedule of tapings will be posted on our site in the coming days, featuring stops from coast to coast. There's our wintry forays in the snow-covered hills of New England and our summer solstice stop in Seattle, Washington, for which tickets are now available. Check it out at sayu.net and come join us for our special brand of wit and wordplay. Find out how, when, where, and why... at sayu.net, S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. We'll be right back. Back in print, Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You, Volumes 1 and 2, feature games from our first two seasons on the air. They're perfect for evenings of parlor games with friends and family, and even better to keep the mind alive while you're winging high above pond and prairie. Picture this, you're driving to Cousin Luther's house and the kids are rearranging the back seat. Just pop out a quiz and minimize the damage. You have only to thank Says Us on our website at sayu.net.
The Jackdaws. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for giving us a little time with the word agowilt. Our scorekeepers, Louisa and Chloe Ferguson, are looking pretty dubious about this. But we'll go first to Stuart Mushlin.
Well, through the medium of radio, you have to transport yourself to the Silk Road.
Ah.
And imagine that you're somewhere in Uzbekistan, trekking your way towards Mongolia. And it's been a long, hot day, and you're sitting in a yurt, enjoying a little lamb stew. And your host is talking about his beautiful daughter. And indeed, he presents his daughter to you and describes to you the amount of her dowry, namely her agowilt, and it would be just 7 sheep. So it's really kind of from a Pashto Urdu word meaning dowry.
It's a dowry.
There you have it.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Sort of a
I was there.
I was transported, weren't you?
Yes.
I really was transported to the Silk Road. All that just to find out an Agawilt is a dowry.
Mm.
Francine Agawilt.
Well, you would think that this word should be agophobia, using the Greek prefix ago, meaning struggle. But for some reason, agawilt means a sudden sickening fear for no good reason.
That's it? A
so
sudden sickening fear.
Agawiltia.
So you sort of wilt. You
well, transport yourself for the moment
to the Silk Road.
To the marital.
A plane that has just dropped several thousand feet.
Right.
And you have agawilt.
You have agawilt. It's a sudden sickening fear, and agawilt.
I would have agita, but you apparently have agawilt.
Yeah. Murray, agawilt.
Well, the guests are at the door. You've worked hard all day to prepare dinner. And that special composed salad that you had in mind is just not going to be ready on time because it requires the lettuce to be in a certain state. So you shout at the lettuce, ah, go wilt.
Ah, go wilt.
No, it's a temptation to think that. And
But no.
You know, I was transported there also.
The jokes ought to write themselves for this one, but it is simply a herring found in the North Sea. So I guess you eat your agawilt with your akvavit or something.
Was it dropped out of a plane?
I think that would be pronounced.
Very fearful. Yeah.
I think it's agavilt.
Agavilt.
An akvavit.
Yeah.
And a North Sea herring. A North Sea swimming herring. Around there, all the agawilt.
I have no further information.
Okay. Well, we have a North Sea herring, a sudden sickening fear, or a dowry. Arnie, that's the choice.
No, I think it's...
My tongue hurts from biting it. Well, gee.
I have no clue. They're all totally ridiculously
okay, sickening, fearful
plausible.
Herring dowry. Oh. How do we vote on this one?
Do we go to Stuart because he's
the
longest?
New guy? And
he's the new guy, and that's this is how it works.
It's a very sweet description.
It was nice. I was transported.
Were you?
The other two brought me into the Twilight Zone. He brought me
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, there could be a herring, too. It could be just that mundane.
Herring is now going toward aquavit or something. Or
could be a red herring.
Agavilt, unless he's mispronouncing it.
Hmm. Agawilt.
Oh, wait, you know fear. The correct pronunciation of agawilt, right? That's what you know.
You're agawilt. I don't know. It's so bizarre.
You're the captain.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Stuart because...
Sure, why
because
not?
Because yes.
He's never done this before.
Stuart,
they seem to think that agawilt is, in fact, a dowry from the Silk Road. Is that, in fact, correct?
Well, let me look at my card, and it says, agawilt, please make something up.
10 points. Very good. As well you did. Someone else was telling the truth. Who might that have been?
The bride.
The bride.
The bride fear. Of agawilt. Sudden, sickening, and unnecessary fear.
Agawilt is sudden, sickening, and unnecessary fear. Very good.
And there's a useful word.
Yes,
yeah.
We could use
we have
that.
A useful word.
And can, may I please stick up for Stuart, whose rookiedom was impugned here, and he now gets the Rookie of the Year award. So
there
you
right.
go.
There you go. And we're changing the name of the show to Agawilt.
I take a look at the score, 54 to 54 going into the last round.
Whoa.
Ooh. Cliffhanger.
Whoa.
God.
It's a tie.
Nation here.
It's a tie game going into the last round. Let's see what we can do here. One great thing about falling in love, there are no more mixed messages. From the...
What?
Did somebody throw up?
Let the record show he burst out laughing at his own remark.
Or maybe there are. I don't know. Yeah.
But there are lots of flip-flops.
Right. From the that was such a... it almost had a pitiful cast to it. I'm so sorry. From the following clues, see if you can mix the titles of the two love songs indicated into one heartfelt title. Carolyn, A love song to a newborn constabulary official.
A love song to a newborn constabulary official. Like, hello, police. Good morning. Welcome to the world, officer somebody.
These are real titles of real songs.
Newborn.
I'm really... Yes.
Love song to a newborn...
Isn't she lovely? That would be
I
one.
Got it. Oh.
And then
I
the
see.
Next one would be, isn't she lovely, shot the sheriff. I mean, I don't know.
No. Isn't she lovely,
lovely
and illegal?
You've got the first one.
All right, now the second clue again is...
To a newborn constabulary official.
Isn't she lovely, Rita Mittermaid?
10 points, very good.
Oh wow, great.
Very good.
Stupidity.
No, keep
Isn't
it in.
Isn't she lovely, Rita Mittermaid? Very good.
Wow.
It's actually lovely, Rita. Mittermaid is not in there, but I'm
lovely
taking
Rita.
The
Isn't
liberty.
Isn't she lovely, Rita? Okay.
Try this one, Stuart. Despite sage counsel, Elvis croons uncontrolled affection for Rogers and Hart.
Could you make
that
clue briefer?
Sage counsel.
Despite sage counsel, Elvis croons uncontrolled affection for Rogers and Hart.
Oh, Elvis croons.
That's yes.
What did you think it was, croutons?
I don't know.
Wise men say,
yes.
Only fools rush in.
All right.
Now you're getting there.
Oh, Rogers and Hart.
Uncontrolled affection for Rogers and Hart.
So, oh,
you're on the right road because.
Wise men say. Well, that's I can't help falling in love with you. I can't help falling.
What's the Rogers and Hart?
I can't help falling in love with love.
Very good.
Oh, excellent.
Surprised even himself. Very good, Murray. Can't help falling in love with love. Can't help falling in love and falling in love with love combined. Try this one, Arnie. Finally. The long-awaited duo of Stephen Foster and Joe Cocker.
Oh, okay.
Waiting for that one, were you?
That's a visual.
Yeah.
That's
a...
Get the picture.
Long-awaited duo of Stephen Foster and Joe Cocker.
A little help with my friends, feeling all right.
It's a love song.
It's a love song.
You are so beautiful. Too. You are so beautiful. That was his big love song.
That's that.
You are so beautiful. So Stephen Foster.
Something
is,
you are so beautiful.
Well, what are Stephen Foster songs, real quick?
Beautiful Dreamer. You are so beautiful, Dreamer.
Very good, Arnie. Hi. Excellent. You are so beautiful and beautiful, Dreamer. You are so beautiful, Dreamer. Very good. All right, Francine. A Disco Dream. The Gibbs Boys front for Miss Summer. Oh.
The Gibb Boys, right?
Yes.
Donna Gibb Summer.
Boys. I'm sorry, the Gibb Boys.
The Gibb Boys is...
front for Miss Summer.
Oh, Donna Summer.
The Bee Gees. I work hard for the money. She works hard for the money, but Donna Summer is Last Dance.
Last Dance.
And, or no, it's not Gloria Gaynor. Oh, wait a minute, that's Gloria Gaynor. How deep is your love?
Yeah, oh, there you go.
How deep is your love?
I
can love.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Deep is your love. The other side knows. You're halfway there.
I don't remember the Donna Summer songs. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't remember.
You got the first half.
That's it. How deep is your love? And think of a...
Not Last Dance.
Love Connection or love... No, not Last Dance is Gloria Gaynor.
No, no. You got 5 points so far.
Donna Summer. From Boston, I might add.
From Boston is right.
Yes.
5 points.
Okay, Richard.
Oh, they don't know. I'm going to have to go to the other side.
How deep is your love to love you, baby?
That's exactly right. Very good, Miss Lyons.
Yes.
7 points. You almost got there. And finally, this is a true test for you, Paula. Patrick Dennis asks Martha and the Vandellas to finally finish the love song to his mother.
Love song to his mother?
Patrick Dennis asks, what?
First Martha of all, Arnie, tell me who Patrick Dennis is.
Annie Mame.
Oh, Annie Mame.
Patrick Dennis asks Martha and the Vandellas to finally finish the love song to his mother.
Rescue Me.
No.
No.
Rescue Me.
No,
was
no I was just saying that.
Yeah, oh, I see.
Mame dancing and dancing.
Yeah, but what, get me the, let's do the Annie Mame part first.
Dancing in the Streets.
No, that's not a love song. What's the love song in Auntie May? Have we got any clue here?
No clue. And I gave this one to you. I thought you might get this one.
I don't know any songs in Mame.
Except Mame.
No, Martha and the Vandell. I don't know this.
Oh, my goodness. Any help? Either song?
We've been dancing in the streets and we remain clueless.
We're thinking Heat Wave and Auntie Mame, but or Little Mame.
That's what I got.
No. Anyone from the audience have any idea?
Love song in Auntie Mame, anybody?
Well, the love song in Auntie Mame is "You're My Best Girl."
Oh, it is.
And it's your
love song in Auntie Mame. There's a musical.
You're my best girl, and nothing you do is wrong. That thing.
I still haven't heard of it.
Oh, okay.
Wish I'd never heard it.
You're My Best Girl is the love song, and the combination is? Oh, no.
That's Mary Wells.
You're My Best Girl, You've Been in Love Too Long.
Ooh.
Sorry, a very hard one.
Obscure.
But it opens the door for Mr. Horwitz to win the game with this one. Tony Orlando and Dawn's Triad with the Commodores.
Right, so it's not three times.
Tie yellow.
Times. What's the Commodores?
He's partially there.
Got it.
The other side has it.
And which I'm convinced, no matter, this is like everybody fears a violent death. My fear is that at the absolute last breath I take on earth, what will be going through my head is not going to be any Beethoven Ninth Symphony, no Charlie Parker Souls. It's going to be Not Three Times by Tony Orlando. Not Three Times. There must be a Times, the Commodore. Celebrate. Celebrate, dance, and music.
He's got 5 points for it.
Celebrate.
Cerebrate.
This is such bad music.
Celebrate.
No, he's not going to get it. Give him 5 points. If the other side can get it, I'm going to give you two. What
it's
is it?
Three times a lady is exactly right.
Knock three that times Carolyn. A lady.
Carolyn knew it.
I don't think you can say that on the radio, can you? Knock three times a lady.
I don't know. Knock three times a lady. By giving them 2 points for getting that, the game ends today in a tie. Congratulations to both teams. That is all. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks for being good sports, you guys. Thanks to our good friends at the Massachusetts Horticultural Society for being such great hosts. My co-writers, Mr. Philip Salkin, Antonio Oliart, and David Williams, faithfully record. We close our matrimonial tribute with the answer that Lord Russell, the famous British jurist, gave to the question, "What's the maximum penalty for bigamy?" His response, 2 mothers-in-law. See you next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available.
Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.